Praise the Lord. God is good, isn't he? Yes. He's got the resources, hasn't he? Yes. Amen. He gives them to you, doesn't he? Yes. Some of you are quite, suppose so. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. If you'd like to turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 29, going into the Old Testament. We're looking at what it is to have a heart for the house. Or more importantly, what it is to be wholehearted. Because everything that we do will flow out, whether this is a project where you're giving money, whether this is a project for seats, or whether this is something that is about building the house of God, resourcing the house of God, the place of God's presence, which is in our lives and in our hearts, yes, but the place where we gather together corporately to encounter him flows from us being wholehearted. So 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 1 to 20 says this. Then King David said to the whole assembly, "My son Solomon, the one whom God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. The task is great, because this palatial structure is not for man, but for the Lord. With all my resources, I have provided for the temple of my God. Gold for the gold work, silver for the silver, bronze for the bronze, iron for the iron, and wood for the wood, as well as oinks for the settings, turquoise stones in various colors, and all kinds of fine stones and marble, all of these in large qualities. Besides, in my devotion to the temple of my God, I now give my personal treasures of gold and of silver for the temple of my God, over and above everything I have provided for this holy temple. 3,000 talents of gold, the gold of Ophir. 7,000 talents of refined silver for the overlaying of the walls and for the buildings, for the gold work and the silver work, and for all the work to be done by the craftsmen. Now, who is willing to consecrate himself today to the Lord? Then the leaders of families of the officers of the tribes of Israel, the commanders of the thousands, the commanders of the hundreds, the officials in charge of the king's work gave willingly. They gave towards the work in the temple of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 darics of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. Any who had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the temple of the Lord in the custody of Jehiel, the Gershonite. The people rejoiced in the willing response of their leaders, for they'd freely given in wholeheartedly to the Lord. David the king also rejoice greatly. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You're exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You're the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength. Give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are aliens and strangers in your sight. We are all our forefathers. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. O Lord our God, as for all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name, it comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things I've given willingly and with honest intent, and now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. O Lord, God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep this desire in the hearts of your people forever, and keep their hearts loyal to you. And give my son Solomon the wholehearted devotion to keep your commands, requirements, and decrees, and do everything to build the palatial structure for which I have provided." Then David said to the whole assembly, "Praise the Lord your God." So they praised the Lord, the God of their fathers. They bowed low and they fell prostrate before the Lord and King. If I was to offer you an opportunity to cause your heart to be tested but proved upright, to be tested but proved whole, to affirm you in your trust in the Lord and His strength and His provision, to encounter a fresh revelation of the presence of the living God. Through that overflowing praise and that joy that pours from your life, your lips, and that is going to encourage many, many people, would you be wanting to experience that? Would you be wanting to take that opportunity? Would you be snatching that opportunity from my hand? Would you like to be a part of that? In short, would you like to pass God's test? Would you like to be in that moment of receiving the smile, the favor of God that's on your life as you trust Him, as you grow in faith, as you grow in that experience, encounter, as that overflow of praise and of thanksgiving for who God is, for what He's done, for what He's given you, is just magnified in those moments? If so, you're in good company with those of the nation of Israel in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. We've looked at surrender as church, of being all in. We've recently received the challenge from Pastor Rajesh from Moses' life to give our time, our talents, our finances, and even our weaknesses to the Lord for Him to use. It's because the biblical pattern of discipleship and of God honoring that flows throughout Scripture and into our lives today involves all of God having all of us, every single part of us. Now, the background to this story in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 is that Solomon is going to build the temple of the Lord. David had the intent, David had the plan to do it, but God said no, he wasn't allowed to do it because he had blood upon his hands. And there is a phrase that came up regularly as we read the passage. There's a phrase that appears regularly in this scripture that is the word whole heart or wholehearted. We find it in chapter 28 and verse 8. We find it in chapter 29, verse 9 and verse 19. We find a reference to the heart five times in between verses 17 and 19. Wholeheartedness is provided in those moments of testing, in those moments of stretching in faith, those moments of offering that our lives as a fresh sacrifice before the Lord. It is in those I'm all in moments of service to Father God. You see, the cause was the project, but the commitment and the giving was to the Lord. Please, 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 as we embark in this as church, do not give to Gordon. Do not even give to Edinburgh Elam. Give to the Lord through Edinburgh Elam. This isn't just about me being able to earn an extra 10 minutes preaching time because you're still comfy enough. It's about creating the environment where those who come in from the streets who have no understanding and concept of God are blown away by the standard, the excellence that is here, that is in this place, that is experienced. We want to remove every obstacle and every barrier that anybody could ever have to letting them hear the gospel. If that means they're uncomfortable, they're going to stop listening. They're going to stop listening. They're going to diminish the chances of them responding. So we want to do something about that. See, the cause is the project, but the commitment and the giving is to the Lord. The project of equipping the house of the Lord became secondary for the opportunity for faith, fresh worship, of giving, and of joy. I've got good news and I've got bad news for you, church. Which would you like first? The bad news. Okay, giving is God's way. Do you want the good news now? Giving is God's way. Whether you like it, you lump it, giving is God's way. And it's often when we expose ourselves in those moments of saying, God, this is painful, this is difficult. How am I going to do? What am I going to do? What is this going to mean for me? In those moments of saying, God, I've got to trust you, are those moments when God draws close to us, when He reassures us, when He opens doors in our life that perhaps we felt were closed or were unexpectedly opened in a positive sense. In those moments where all of a sudden his provision is encountered and is seen. Giving is the Lord's way of stretching us. Giving is the Lord's way of strengthening us. And giving is the Lord's way of us being in that place of sacrifice. If you want to turn with me to Exodus chapter 36, this is an excellent account. And so it just shows the privilege, the way that God operates and allows us to partner with him for being and equipping the house of God. And it's the first time that there's going to be any kind of building that's going to be provided for God. Well, a building, I say a building, but it's a tent, or what we would know in church circles being the tabernacle, the place of meeting with God. It's in Exodus 36. And in verses 2 to 7 is the account there of what is happening. It says, Moses summoned Bezalel and Oholiab, B and O we'll call them from here on in, and every skilled person to whom the Lord had given ability and who was willing to come and do the work. They received from Moses all the offerings that Israel had brought to carry out the work of constructing the sanctuary. And the people continued to bring free will offerings morning after morning. That is an offering that's over and above their tithe. Okay, that's a free will offering. That's important. So all the skilled craftsmen who were doing all the work in the sanctuary left their work and said to Moses, the people are bringing more than enough for doing the work. Can I hear an amen in the house? More than enough for doing the work of the Lord commanded to be done. Then Moses gave an order, and they sent word throughout the camp, no man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary. Wow! Stop it. You're not to give anymore. Too much already. I would love for that to be, for me to be standing here saying, guys, whoa, calm down, you're giving. I've got too much. I've got more that we can spend it on, sir. And so the people were restrained from bringing more. The stewards, giving it, nah, you're not putting it in. Here's the offering basket. No. Take it away. Go on. Back to where you came from. You're not allowed it. You're not going to give anymore. What a picture of people who are so passionately taken with the purpose of God and of serving and of equipping the place of his worship, that there was more than enough amongst us through God's provision. There's more than enough. Those free will offerings, there's more than enough. If you flip forward to the book of Ezra, now this is the second temple that's being rebuilt. Samuel, there was two temples. How come? Well, one was knocked down when the nation went into exile. Remember, Nehemiah comes and rebuilds the wall, and he takes Ezra with him, and Ezra rebuilds the temple, the second temple. And in Ezra chapter 1 in verse 6, it says, speaking of those who gave, it says, everyone whose heart God had moved. In chapter 2 and verse 68, that they gave according to their ability. In chapter 3 and verse 5 is this word free will offering. Again, comes back to that point, that principle, that way of God seeming to choose to do it through his people. I give you the resources, you steward the resources, but here's the need. Will you sacrifice in this way? And please, it's not all about finance. We know that. But I'm speaking to the church, and I'm speaking with this distinct, specific reason this morning to teach on this passage and to build up and back up what we've already been saying as church, that our God is able to provide for us as we steward well what God has given us. Back to 1 Chronicles, if you would, chapter 29 and in verse 16. This is David, King David, who's speaking. O Lord, our God, as for all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name, it comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. So in a sense, you're not even giving your money. You're giving God his money back, and he allows you to keep the rest. Isn't he a good God? There is an abundance that comes from the hand of God. Isn't that good news? As you're looking, saying, how am I going to be able to do this? How am I going to be able to afford this? How am I going to be able to resource this? To know and get into our hearts and spirits that today that there is an abundance that comes from the heart of God. We maybe just haven't tapped into it yet. Because we're maybe not just living with that kind of way. So what does wholehearted living for the Lord look like? If the only way that we're going to give freely, if the only way that we're going to give without resentment, if the only way that we're going to give, be committed to it, to see it through, is to have this wholeheartedness. And what does a whole heart look like? Well, the wholehearted person is someone who listens to the Lord. David got the plan, but David wasn't to build it, but he was to resource it. Imagine having that dream, having that vision, having God speak to you and says, I want you to build a house for my name, I want a house built for my name, but by the way, you're not doing it. Your boy's to do it. I mean, he gives him a glowing, but he doesn't give him a glowing reference. He says that he's young and inexperienced. The man who's got the heart after God's own heart, who is going to encourage his son, and his son who's going to say, I want the gift of wisdom. We spoke on wisdom last week here at church. He's going to have wisdom to be able to build the house. But the man who's got the whole heart, the person who's got the whole heart, listens to the Lord and then does as he says. There is no huff here. You know, some of you have been saying, kind of jokingly, can I get my name on the seat? A great big Greenokian, no. Because it's not your seat. It's the Lord's seat. For you, for somebody else. Down through the decades. Listen to the Lord. There was no huff when David got told, here's the plan, but you're not doing it. There was no strop. There was no tantrum. There was no tears. There was say, okay, God, my heart is so whole because it's not about me. It's not about who does it. It's about it getting done to give glory and honor to your name. There's a greater purpose. There's a bigger picture. His heart is securing God in the middle of it all. The wholehearted person participates in a great task for a great God. It's good that in that first verse that David said to the whole assembly, my son Solomon, the one whom God has chosen is young and inexperienced. The task is great because this palatial structure is not for man but for the Lord God. A great task and a great God. And a great God who's got great resources. He understood the magnitude of this moment in God. The wholehearted person may have a position of power and responsibility, but his role was to serve and was to steward. Because in verse 14 it says, who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Stewarding the resources of God. The wholehearted person said, I am not giving to get, but I am giving as worship. And that is why there is such an emphasis on worship that's on and in this passage. In fact, a lot of the commentators would say that David's prayer here from verse 10 through to verse 13 is one of the greatest in the whole of the Old Testament in declaring who God is. And it comes out of a moment of saying to of God saying to David, here's the plans and here's what's needed to resource it. And out of that moment comes one of the greatest declarations of the goodness of God, of the character of God, of the nature of God, of the provision of God to the people of God. The wholehearted person recognizes, verse 2, all my resources are the Lord's in the first place. He says in verse 2, with all my resources I provided for the temple. But in verse 11, he declares, yours, O God, is the greatness, the power, the glory, and the majesty, the splendor, for everything in heaven and on earth is yours. He recognizes his source. He recognizes who it is that provides for him in the first place. The wholehearted person, King David, and those who got a heart after God's heart, has an understanding that I do not suffer loss when I give to the Lord. There is no, but look how much my bank account's going to go down. Look how many shekels I'm not going to have because I've given into the temple. He realized that this is an investment. This is only giving back to God what God, a portion of what God has already given to him. And we know the biblical principle of sowing and of reaping, not giving to get, but giving so that we can bless and be a blessing. The wholehearted person has got an astonishment and a gratitude to God that the Lord would permit little old them to give to his big new project. Verse 14, and it says, "But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give so generously as this?" And then goes on in verse 15 and 16, "We are aliens and strangers in your sight, as were all our forefathers. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. O Lord our God, as for all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name, it comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you." There is a wow factor here. It says, "God, you're actually inviting me. God, you're going to allow me. You who are holy and creator of all things and the storehouses in heaven and of all the resources of heaven, you're going to invite me to partner with you in this moment, in this time." There is something of an awe, there's something of a reverence, there's something of a privilege, there's something of astonishment, there is something of gratitude that I am praying might grip our hearts today, that we realize what an honor it is to be partnered with the Lord at any time and at any moment in our life. The wholehearted person also knows that God monitors motivation. Because verse 17 goes on to say, "I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things I've given willingly and with honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you." There is a tested heart. I believe in this season that God is testing hearts through this moment. He's testing my heart. Do you know, I wrestled for weeks in sharing with the leaders about tithing on the money that was going to come in. Because it'd be easy for us to hold on to. Say, "Oh, but we need it. We've got to do this, got to do that, do the next thing." It'd be easy. It would have been easy for me just to suppress it, to bury it, to file it back in my brain. But there'd be the nagging of the Holy Spirit saying, "I'm urging you to be faithful, Gordon. I'm urging you to step out and to step up in faith in this." And we still need to check and make sure with international offices and make sure with the Charity Commission that is going to be allowed because it's designated giving. We understand all those things, but the challenge that's there. And God comes and speaks, whispers to us and says, "Would you do that for me? Would you engage in that? Would you be involved in that?" The tested heart. To know that God is pleased with integrity. To know that God is pleased with willing giving. To know that God is pleased with honest intent. To know and to see in this passage, you know, if one word other than wholehearted is to be there, then joyful is the other word, or rejoicing is the other word that for me sums up this passage. It wasn't a chore, it wasn't a hardship, it wasn't a difficulty for David, for Solomon, for the leaders and the officials and for the people that were there to give. It just wasn't. There's a need for God. I'm going to give to it. To be wholehearted, we need to understand two questions. Who am I and who is God? In the realm of who am I? To recognize that I've got the resources to provide for the Lord's work. David recognized it in verse 2. To recognize that I'm dedicated to the Lord and dedicated to his house, to his people, to the people that God has planted me with, verse 3. To recognize there is need for consecration, because this isn't about fiscal stuff, this is about holiness and a committed heart, in verse 5. To recognize that I am willing. Not giving grudgingly. You know some folks, and it's like the fiver's there, but they'll give it to you, but it's like, yeah, they eventually get it. There's willingness that's there. There's rejoicing that's a part of it. There's giving freely and giving wholeheartedly, verse 9. There's humbled by partnership with God, verse 14. There's understanding our source and our sustainer is the Lord. Well, it's throughout the entire passage. So that's who you are as you're wholehearted. But who is God? He is eternal. He is consistent. He is the faithful God. He is the almighty, powerful God. He is the source of our faith. He is the sustainer of our life. He is supreme and sovereign in all things. He is the one who gives us our strength, who gives us our power, who gives us resources. He is the one who is the focus and receives our thanks and our praise for who he is, for what he's doing in our life. And even if he wasn't doing anything, we would still have to give him praise. Why? Because God is good and his love endures forever. And all this inspires confidence, inspires faith, it inspires praise. As we step into the opportunity, the challenge, and the invitation, you can delete as appropriate as to how easily it sits with you. The big question this morning, church, the buy-in from the Word of God, find it there. I think it's in verse 5. Now, who is willing to consecrate himself today to the Lord? For this time, for this task, for this purpose. The word that's used here, consecration, is the word that is used for the office of the priest. There are other times and other moments in the Old Testament where the word that's used for consecration has a different connotation and a different meaning. But this is the word that was reserved for that moment of the priest being set aside for the work of the ministry of servant in the house of God. And the chronicler, chronicling what King David's saying, uses this word of a people who are set apart for the purposes of God and serving in the house of God. You know, we're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Peter says that in the New Testament. But even before that, David is saying, you're going beyond just the Levitical line and the Levitical house right here. He's using in this time and this purpose to build the house. And he's saying, who will serve the Lord in this place? Who will serve the Lord by building the house? It's a holy moment for the nation, for the people, for the individual. Worshipping priesthood of believers who give the Lord his resources back to him. Are you wholehearted this morning? Are you wholehearted, church? Are you all in, church? Are you surrendered, church? Are you rejoicing, church? Is your faith being stretched, church? It's gonna. Are you looking to God? Are you joining in the adventure of what God is doing at this time and this place? Let's pray. The worship team are going to come. We'll take up our offering.